Hello. How are you doing today? This is the Purdue Podcast with me, Pastor Heather, and this is my wonderful husband, Pastor Aaron. Can you hear me okay, Kevin? Okay. I feel like the mic is kind of below me, so I want to make sure you can hear me. We're so excited to be with you today. We know that God has something special in store for you, that you're going to leave here encouraged and uplifted. And, you know, we do this because we want to connect with our online community. We know that there are a lot of you out there that you might not have a great church in your area, and you may just connect with us online through live streaming or just, you know, however you can online when you're out there by yourself. I know how it is to be out there by yourself, because I used to live in rural Tennessee and we didn't have a good church that was balanced in grace and faith. And so I got a lot of things that ministered to me online. And I know you've lived out on your own, out in the wilderness, right?
Yeah. God always helped me get plugged into good churches wherever I was at. But I still had a strong connection at a heart level here. So I would always encourage my dad to really, you know, do the online.
Yeah, I think you were the one that helped him get online, right?
Or
told him that he should be live streaming.
Yeah. And both of his mentors were very big and currently very large and...
Okay.
In television. You know, he went to Lester Sumrall's Bible College, and Lester Sumrall had a large television ministry, even owned his own television network. And Andrew Womack is also one of his mentors who's very large in television. And I told my dad, television's great, but also do stuff that's online. And it's, you know, there's a lot of tech and work behind the scenes, but you don't have to pay for like broadcast time.
Yeah. And now, lo and behold, everybody's online. So
that's
here we are.
So I'd always enjoy connecting online, and it's really important to connect however you can.
Yeah, and it's important to be fed more than just coming to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like the point of this. It's kind of like a podcast / Bible study / we're here to answer your questions, and we want you to leave comments, your questions, communicate with us, because that's the whole point of this, is that we want to get to know you, we want to talk to you, we want to be here for you, we want to minister to you, and... we think you should also have a notebook ready and a pen, because God's going to speak something to you today, and it's going to be awesome.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sent this to me this morning. Heather gets up really early and spends time with the Lord early in the morning. I'm more of a night person, so I'm not quite up
early.
So I saw this right when you sent it to me when I was waking up, and I really loved. I loved the title.
Well, actually, we were talking about. I usually make notes on Monday mornings for the podcast, and I was like, I kind of have a topic that I feel like is on my heart, but I don't know about it. And then when I showed you the notes, you're like, no, this is great, which is very encouraging, because, I think it's going to be a good topic.
Yeah, and the title of Becoming Someone God Can Trust.
Mm-hmm.
I like that you said becoming. It's not, you know, trust isn't something that instantly happens.
Yeah.
And even with a relationship with God, like, he's not going to just give you everything that he has for you.
All at once.
Have you doing all of your purpose all at once. Like, because oftentimes it would just be too much for you to handle.
Yeah.
Too soon. So you have to develop this trust with people and with God also. Like, he needs to, and it takes time.
He needs There's to know no that he can trust
it.
You
yeah.
with some things. You know what? I heard another minister say, this has been a while ago, but it just popped into my head, that God provided everything on the cross for us, but we have to possess it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to partake of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just because he's provided it doesn't mean that we don't have a job to do, you know?
Well, even when I was thinking about the Israelites when they were coming into the promised land, into Canaan, you know, where modern day Israel is today. He told them, like, this is your land. And that was a promise given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
And they knew geographically what belonged to them, but there were still, you know, enemy groups of people there. And he said that
all the ites.
He said, gradually it'll take time.
Yeah.
It took centuries for them to be removed, and he said it would take time, because if they just completely left all at once, like, the land would be overrun by wild animals. Mm-hmm. And
it's
like,
so funny that you brought this up, because I was just highlighting this in my Bible on Sunday.
Yeah, and God has a great sense of timing. Like, we don't always understand
the time.
Times and seasons as well as he does. So you really have to trust him and not get ahead of God. God showed me this past weekend. You know, here in Colorado, we had a very unusually warm winter, so everything has bloomed out really early, like almost a month, like a month 2 months early. But we're still getting some of these late spring cold snaps. And we have 11 lilac bushes around our property, like very beautiful, have these gorgeous blooms, usually late May, but they've bloomed mid-April. And they bloom out for a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, but they bloomed out, and we had this cold snap where it got down to 19 degrees, and it just
killed everything.
Killed everything. And God was just showing me, like, a lot of times people want to bloom really early. Mm-hmm. But if you're blooming too early, just trying to become everything that you know God wants you to be all at once, you haven't really been through storms yet. So, like, one little mini storm could come up and just... Yeah, wipe you out. So sometimes it's better to deal with some of these issues and problems and learn how to be stronger when you have more of a protective covering and you're not just out there.
Yeah. And to add to that, you know, when that, it was a cold front. And, you know, God was telling me that if you don't grow up a little bit, if you don't learn some things, if you don't become mature, cold fronts will wipe you out. There are times when you will be by yourself. There are times when, like, people come and go. We were just talking about that. Like, being a minister, being a pastor, you know, we see people come and go all the time for various reasons. And I'm always, like, it's always bittersweet to see somebody that you love so much. But, you know, like, there's some people that you depend on so much and you think, oh my gosh, I hope this person is here forever because you just love them so much and God might call them to do something else. And, you know, we're to be happy for them and we're to bless them and pray for them and let them go. It's almost kind of like raising kids, you know, like it's bittersweet. But if you don't learn how to just put all of your trust in God, then those, I refer to those as like cold seasons. And that will kill you. That will wipe you out. You know, God wants us to be ministers, but he doesn't want us to be bitter. He doesn't want us to be like holding on to people, trying to control people. And, you know, those are things that you're going to try to do if you don't have your trust in the Lord, you know.
And it's always good to just trust God, too.
It is.
And, you know, if someone who's close to you moves on for whatever reason, maybe a positive or even a negative reason, you just keep trusting God.
It is, yeah.
And and he's able to redeem the time as well. You know, the time and heart and everything you've put into somebody, if they didn't stick around for as long as you were thinking they might, God's able to redeem that back.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, like, I've been pastoring for 10 years, so there's been people I've really cared about and tried to pour into, and some people have stuck around and really grown. Some people have moved on for various reasons. But God, you know, sometimes he'll send someone who's already really been invested in, and they can just start at a higher level. Like, I don't have to.
Yeah, that's definitely happened.
Yeah, and so when you just trust God, he works things out. Mm-hmm. So it always comes back to trusting God.
Yeah.
And you know, going, when we're talking about being someone God can trust, I was thinking about, you know, God wants to give you true riches.
Yeah.
So there's riches that, you know, there's monetary riches, but there's riches beyond that, which are relational, like, you know, who you might marry, children, close friendships, business relationships. God has to be able to trust you in order to give you more true riches.
Yeah.
So some of those things that you need to be faithful over what he's given you. You know, some people want to, you know, do big, huge things, maybe relational, business, ministry-wise, but have you been faithful over what he's given you? Or have you been faithful over that which is another man's? Like, maybe you're helping someone else on their team.
Yeah. Stuck around until Elijah was taken up.
Yeah. You been faithful over that which is another man's? Because if you can't take care of someone else's stuff, you know, why should we give you what's your own?
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, I think about that, like, even like renting. You know, I rented a long time apartments before I had my own house. So, you know, sometimes when you're renting, the thought comes to you like, well, this isn't my place. Like, I can just, you know,
treat it how you want.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what I flush down the drains or, but you want to treat
other people's stuff. Man, your dad has some stories about, he's got a rental property And one time we were, he was trying to decide about if he had a couple at this time, but he was wanting, do you remember this? He was wanting to either sell it or remodel it a little bit and then sell it. He was just trying to figure out. And he was like, Heather, I need you to come with me to come check out this rental and help me figure out what I can do to kind of like vamp it up. And we went in there. You know what? Come to think of it, that might have been the very first time I've ever walked into somebody's rental property. Mm-hmm. And I went in there, and I think he had like three different people that they were renting it together and like splitting the rent. Oh my gosh. It was disgusting. I couldn't believe how terrible they had treated this house. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If that's the way you are, I don't think God's going to trust you with much, you know? I don't think God is wanting to promote somebody who doesn't take care of stuff. And there's a difference between, you know, being busy and you have clutter laying around that you need to put away versus just completely just trashing out things, you know? It was interesting. Sorry, that was a side trail. But anyway, becoming someone God can trust. So we have, there's a few little takeaways, from here, and I know that Pastor Aaron and I could probably expound on all of these, but a few, yeah, Chrissy, so good. Fits right in with stewarding well, be faithful right where you are, and let God develop you into someone he can trust with more. That's exactly right. That's something we talk about a lot. So my intro for this is, there are people in your life who will never respond to your preaching, but will they respond to your life?
Well, it's because it's, again, like the trust thing.
Yeah.
Like, they might not respond to the preaching, but they know watching. That you're a trustworthy person. Like, mm-hmm. you are who you say you are. You're genuine. You don't lie. You're a very honest person. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's extremely, extremely valuable.
Yeah.
And to also, to like, destroy that trust with someone is a very big deal, too.
Mm-hmm. Words and actions are equally important. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say a lot of things, but if your actions don't line up to what you're saying.
Well, it takes a long time to build it.
Yeah.
With someone, to build a really good relationship. It takes, you know, years, you know, and it what takes years to build can be destroyed very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with finances. It might take a long time to build up to having $1 million net worth, but it doesn't take that long to
destroy it.
Just destroy
it. I know, and that's what, like, my little point here, it says, in society today, we have an excess of preaching, but a deficiency in the fruit of the Spirit being lived out.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it, right, so much lately. We've seen ministers that they've been in ministry for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden, one bad judgment.
Yeah,
and one sin.
Well, sometimes it's gone on longer.
Well, it has, but I'm too. but like, it came to light.
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
yeah.
One day, you know, mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what I wanted this to be on, is like, are we actually living out the fruit of the Spirit? Because that really ministers to people more than just your words.
Mm-hmm.
Words are important. There's a time to share the gospel verbally with someone, but really you have to build up trust first.
Mm-hmm. And fruit, it takes time to develop fruit and to be fruitful.
Yeah.
And
how many years? Well, 1 year probably, but how many years does it take for a tree to grow to the point? Because we talked about this.
Well, even going back to like what we're saying about this cold snap wiping out a bunch of stuff. Like,
yeah.
I know, like, different things that I had sprouting already, like this cold snap wiped out a bunch of it. I know a lot of those things will be fine because they're very established. Like, if I just planted them this season or last year even, they might not make it. But if they're established, they have this core mm-hmm. below the ground that, you know, next season they'll bounce back.
Yeah.
So it takes a few years to be established just mm-hmm. for a plant. And also scripturally, in the Old Testament law, when the Israelites were to plant a vineyard, they couldn't eat the fruit of it until the fifth year. The first 3 years, they were to count the fruit as uncircumcised, like mm-hmm. don't trust it. The fourth year, the fruit is good, but it was a first fruit offering to God.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fifth year, you could eat the fruit yourself. And that's kind of true. It takes
yeah.
it takes about 4 or 5 years, you know, for a tree to really get rooted and grounded and start producing and be able to weather storms. And same for people too. That's why, you know, so many people just kind of bounce around from relationship to relationship, from church to church, from job to job. They never really get rooted anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time to produce that fruit. So even like looking for people to as like a spiritual mother or father or mentor or pastor, someone who can speak into your life, you need to be able to see the fruit, you know. And you know, there's a lot of people that have large followings online, but do you really know that person?
Yeah.
You know, online on Instagram, on YouTube, you could just portray yourself as somebody and not really be anybody.
Yeah, that's right. You might not know exactly who they are. I love a certain minister said that a spiritual father or mother is someone that you are with physically, like you're around them physically.
Yeah.
It's not someone that you just say, like, Andrew Womack is my spiritual father. And that's fine. But I don't, like, I've learned a lot from Andrew Womack, but I don't have a personal relationship with him. He's not speaking into my life, like, all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, I know we have people that watch that go to different sized churches. And, but if you get involved, people will get to know you too.
Yeah.
You know, and I think serving's a great way to get involved. Like, I oversee the worship team and the youth team, and I try to be very present for those people on those teams. Just know what's going on in their life.
Yeah.
Be there for them. Hey, if you're going through something, need advice, come to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be that way for everyone. Like my parents or the head pastors, they try to be available to reach a lot of people too. But they've even noticed too that they tend to really take care of the people kind of around their age.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I kind of take care of the younger people around our age.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a natural thing. And even you know, that works for different churches of different sizes.
Well, no, and those people that your parents minister to, those people actually minister to people too.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we have a core of people that like we're in contact with pretty closely, but I know that those people actually minister to other people too.
Yeah.
So it's like, it branches
but being
out.
Able to see the fruit in someone's life is a really big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah, and recognizing that. And not just following people because of their charm, their charisma, their talent, their, you know, personality.
Because they have a lot of followers online.
Yeah,
like
you really have to
get to know people.
For key relationships, fruit is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And large followings, and that's not a fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to read about the fruit of the Spirit.
Well, even just recently, there was a young podcast guy, evangelist guy who was able to interview Kenneth Copeland. Do you know that guy's name? He's like 25
they
or something.
Know. They don't
he's
know.
Like, I think he's doing
he's
a lot of great things
guy,
for the
yeah.
kingdom. But like, to me, it's very odd seeing this 25-year-old who's maybe been doing ministry for
like
2 years.
Question someone that's been in ministry forever.
Who's been in ministering for like 60 years.
Yeah.
Like, this guy has a lot more fruit than you do.
Uh-huh.
And
it's kind of like, how dare you?
Yeah. And there's like, a scripture in Hebrews, too, that says, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the greater.
Yeah.
Like, kind of be careful who you're trying to teach something to.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they have a lot of fruit and a lot of years behind it.
Yeah.
You might have a disagreement.
Oh, it was Bryce Crawford.
Chrissy
knows. Yeah.
And he's a very sweet person.
Yeah.
And I think he has a lot of tremendous
He might have done
attributes.
It. He might have been doing it strategically, though, to try to bring people together. Because there's such a, like, I never saw him say anything negative about Kenneth Copeland.
Some of the titles for the little shorts that they produce were very negative.
Yeah, but they do that as clickbait. Like, you can't always go by that.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Okay, so that's my first point, if you want to call it a point, is that people should be seeing the fruit of the Spirit, not just so much about our words.
Yeah.
What we're yapping about.
And it's not the gifts of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit.
What did I say, gifts?
No, you said.
All right. I thought I messed up.
Fruit of the Spirit. But
yeah.
A lot of people, especially, you know, we're a charismatic church, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes people are very attracted to the gifts.
Again, they think the gift is a mark of maturity, and it's not.
Yeah. And, you know, in the Old Testament, the priest that they wore at the bottom of their robe. It's really interesting. In the Hebrew, it says that there, at the bottom of their robe, there was a bell and a pomegranate. It says it just like that.
It's
in
really
the Hebrew. It repeats it like bell, pomegranate, bell, pomegranate, an alternation all around the bottom of their robe. And they said they have to wear that when they go into the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. The high priest would have to wear that. And that way you could hear if that person is still alive or not. And to really dwell in God's presence, to really, you know, it takes both the bell, the giftings, but also the fruit, the pomegranate. Mm. Like and if someone just has the gifting, that they just have a voice, they're just loud, they're just ringing all the time, but they don't have any fruit.
Beware.
You might get zapped.
Yeah.
You know, by a storm. God's not going to smite you and zap you, but like you're going to be susceptible to.
He wants you to be prepared.
He wants some longevity.
Mm-hmm.
In your life and your impact and your purpose. God's destiny for you isn't just like a 1 week thing, a 1 year thing. Like he looks at you for your entire lifespan, and also your lifespan affecting other people's lives and generations after you.
Yeah.
So you have to think much more big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard for us to do, especially here in the US. You know, we're celebrating our 250th year anniversary as a country, which seems like a massive amount of time.
Yeah.
But I've been to Europe. You know, we went to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Where some of these cathedrals we've visited took longer than 250 years just to build one church. So you have to think just much more longer than, you know, I can't even imagine like being in a building program and asking people to donate. Hey, you're not going to be able to enjoy this.
You'll never see this, but
sanctuary,
can you donate?
Or the new sound system, and like it'll be your grandchildren that can enjoy it.
Wow.
But that's a great way to think. Like the things I'm doing now will impact my life decades from now, you know, other people's lives, children, grandchildren.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be launching a young adult ministry in September. Dating is a big part of the young adult life, finding who to marry. But I tell people like this, one of the main things to look at is like, can this person be a parent to your future children?
Yeah.
Like, does this guy go to church? Because if he doesn't go to church now, like when you have kids, he's not going to go to church. And like, maybe you'll drag your kids to church, but once they get older, like statistics show, like if the dad doesn't go to church, them kids ain't going to keep
them
going to
kids.
Church.
You've been hanging out with me too much.
Them kids. Like you have to, don't just look at the bell.
Yeah.
Look at the pomegranate. Does this guy have any pomegranates in his life? Maybe he's got a lot of bells. Maybe he's, you know, got some muscles and, you know, a full head of hair. And
Pastor Aaron came to preach today, I guess.
But like, look at the pomegranate. You know, you can look at the bell.
The fruit.
The bell is a great thing to look at, but there's got to be some pomegranates there too.
Yeah. That's true. Okay, so should we just, I mean, I have quite a bit of notes here.
Share what you want. Share from your heart.
Well, I mean, you're doing a good job. Okay, so I just want to touch on this, Acts 2:37. I love this. This is Peter. He was preaching. This is right after everybody got filled with the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this just like jumped off the pages at me. It said, now when they heard this, Peter was preaching to them. Who was he preaching to? It says up here, men and brethren.
3,000 people are getting saved.
3,000 people are getting saved. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That just jumped off the page to me, because when I get revelation of the word, it prompts me to do something.
To take action. Yeah.
So they heard Peter preach. They were cut to the heart, and it said, what shall we do? A revelation of the resurrection specifically produces action. Salvation isn't passive. It moves you into obedience. Mm-hmm. And love isn't just something you feel. It compels obedience. So right away, I'm thinking of, you know, when I got born again, but also when I got born again when I was 12, but when I got a revelation of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and that power now abides on the inside of me, mm-hmm. Man, it draws me closer to God. It draws me closer to want to know God more. And then when I found out I was accepted by God and loved by God, mm-hmm. It prompts me to do. And why that's important is because I grew up in a denominational church, but I grew up thinking that it was my doing that was gonna earn God's love. Mm-hmm. It was so backwards. And in my church, it was, I don't really want to say in my church. I feel like I lived in the Bible Belt, so I just feel like this was everybody. It was such a normal thing that we were all fake, you know? Like, we were fake and we didn't really know we were fake. Mm-hmm. And we would, oh, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, how are you doing today? We missed you at church. Knowing good and well, we didn't miss anybody at church. We're probably glad they didn't come. And then we didn't mind gossiping about people, sowing strife, like, but we didn't know. We were doing it out of ignorance. And, you know, that paints Jesus in a bad light. And, again, going back to, like, God's not going to trust us with things unless we know how much he loves us, unless we know, unless we have a revelation of the power of God, the resurrection of God, our authority.
Yeah. I love how you relate revelation to obedience, yeah, too. Like, the more revelation you have, the more gift you're given, the more understanding you have, the more responsibility you have with that.
Yes.
To use it.
Yes.
Which is really true. You know, like, if God gives me a great revelation about giving and mm-hmm. I just don't give.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you even have that revelation to begin with? Or if he gives you great revelation in terms of parenting, but you don't apply it to your own parenting.
Yeah. And the reason why obedience is important is because, you know, we're talking about becoming someone God can trust. If you can't obey God, he's not going to trust you. Uh-huh. He's not going to trust you. You know, sometimes we tell our kids, the reason why you have to obey is because if you don't obey what we're telling you to do, you're not going to obey God. Mm-hmm. You're not going to understand the importance of, oh, I need to just do what this person is telling me to do, even when I don't quite understand it. Mm-hmm. If I know it's Bible, right? If I know it's somebody I can trust, my mom and dad, and I'm in a healthy home and I'm not being abused, you know, you should just obey. You shouldn't just have to understand why all the time. Mm-hmm. Why? That's annoying.
Yeah.
I don't think God wants to give somebody more responsibility if they're just constantly only moving when they can understand everything.
Yeah.
You know, but revelation causes obedience, and obedience shuts the door on the enemy, and disobedience opens the door to the enemy. Mm-hmm. But obedience as a whole positions you for trust and assignment. Mm. God can trust obedient people with more. Mm-hmm. That's so important. You know, if we can't obey, so the fruit of the Spirit, I like this next part, but I don't want to. You think I should skip it to the fruit of the Spirit?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I have a really good note. Y'all should get the notes. The notes are in the description below, but I have a really good little section on how I think the church grows, but you can go read that yourself. But if you can't obey, you're not going to walk out the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit we already have, right, because we have Jesus living on the inside of us, and it's his personality, mm-hmm. his fruit, and we have to learn how to yield to those. To love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yeah.
And this is something that I'm learning. I believe that God put us as youth pastors to teach us some things. Mm-hmm. Teach me some things, you know. Mm-hmm. Because it's not always easy to love them, to be patient with them, to be kind toward them, to be goodness toward them. But I can see, I will yield to what God tells me to do concerning those kids, because they're God's kids. They're not my kids. Mm-hmm. And I have a respect for God, mm-hmm. and I want to do well by him, and I want to treat them well. But if you can't be obedient to yield to these fruit of the Spirit, then what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. God was speaking to me about love, you know, the first fruit of the Spirit.
And, yeah.
You know, I just met a man yesterday at church who came up for prayer, just needing some breakthrough in healing. And he has a doctor's appointment coming up soon, and was kind of nervous about it. And said, you know, he's like, should I just not even go? I said, no, you can go, but like, go in faith, build yourself up in faith. I'm glad you came for prayer, and you have your, you know, sights in the right direction. But I said, you have to stay in faith. And I asked him if he was filled with the Holy Spirit and prayed in tongues. And he said, yeah, I recently did that. And I could tell it's very new to him. So I just said, you know, the Bible says in Jude 20 that you build yourself up in your most holy faith praying in the Spirit. Yeah. So I said, you need to be praying in the Spirit. I said, do it 30 minutes a day. And, you know, this week leading up to you going back to the doctor to get checked out again, I said, be praying in the spirit 30 minutes a day. And God reminded me the next verse there in Jude, I believe it's in verse 21, it says, you know, you build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God.
Mm.
Like it's not easy to stay in love.
Yeah.
And to forgive and move on and not hold grudge. It's not like it, praying in the spirit actually helps with that.
Mm-hmm.
And enables you to just not get bogged down with just being upset at people for acting dumb.
Yeah. I know we had a, I'm going to share with you guys for a minute about this, well, somewhat of a personal story, but we had, the youth group has just now grown. We had like what, 58 students
this past
Wednesday night. And so, you know, for 2 years, we haven't really, or for a solid year, we really haven't had to deal with a lot of problems. Our youth are really good. And we, you know, they get wild occasionally, but not. We don't really have to deal with many problems, but recently we had to deal with a little issue, and it wasn't anything major, but I had to teach the students. It was really good for me because I just saw the word just,
yeah,
in real time, you know, like in person. And it was cool because I got to teach the kids that, like, why we need to be kind, but then also when someone messes up, we don't just run around with our pitchforks saying, get them. And we don't talk about them. And we're supposed to restore people in the spirit of gentleness, you know, and kindness. And I just thought, man, God is just so good. Mm-hmm. And what an honor it is that I get to actually teach the students, like,
well, it's good to teach them how to do these things at that age. So like, as they get older, they don't think it's normal to just gossip about someone.
I know. Cause as adults, you know,
and these adults never really learned.
No, well, it's hard. Yeah, and it's hard to teach an adult.
Their own way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to teach an adult. But they were just so cute. And I'm so grateful that we get to do what we do. But okay, so I want to go through the fruit of the Spirit. So the missing piece of the puzzle to me is, like, we have plenty of preaching, we have plenty of knowledge, but we're lacking in the fruit of the Spirit being lived out daily. And people don't.
Well, the fruit of the Spirit is what non-believers will recognize.
Yes, it's what ministers to people.
They'll recognize that, and it'll attract them.
Yes, it will.
And it'll make them know that you're the real deal, mm-hmm. and that God is real.
Yeah.
And it's not your preaching.
No.
It's not you going to church.
It's not your intellect.
It's this being a part of who you are.
Yeah.
A part of your life, and it's a supernatural thing.
Yeah.
And Jesus even said by your love for one another, like, people will know mm-hmm. that you're my disciples. But this applies to the other fruit as well. When people can see that joy, that peace, that long suffering that you have, even when you, like, are very different from them as a believer.
Yeah.
You know, the average person in the world does not think the way we do, or has very different, you know, morality, and
or they're scared to death. They have a lot of fear, but we have peace.
Yeah,
you know,
but
basically,
when they see these things as being genuine in you,
being genuine in you, that's the key. And the thing is, we all have the nine fruit of the Spirit. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
The fruit of the, we all have these. So I just want to go through. Number one is love. And all these are forces. They're not just feelings. I always thought the fruit of the Spirit, oh, wouldn't that be nice if I could just have joy? Or wouldn't that be nice if I could just have patience or whatever? But the truth is, we do have all these. Mm-hmm. And it's not always easy to yield in them at first. But I believe that as you keep on practicing and you keep doing it, it does get easier.
Yeah.
But, and then you see the result from walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And when you see the result, then it becomes addicting to want to yield to that instead of just yield to your flesh.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Recently, I was talking to somebody, and they were just really put out with another person, and they had gotten into an argument with them, and they were trying to argue with them about some theological things. And I said, this is the point to me where I stop talking to that person, because I'm not going to argue theology with you.
Yeah.
To me, that's when that person needs to see the Holy Spirit working in your life. Because when they see that supernatural fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you can't argue with that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can't argue with that. So, number one, love is a force that makes people feel seen and valued, and it breaks down walls instantly. It's true. I'm just going to roll through these. Is that okay? Yeah. Joy is strength in the middle of pressure. It attracts people who are weary. Mm-hmm. Peace calms chaos in others and what people are actually longing for. Patience gives people room to grow and reflects the heart of God toward people. I love that. If people just understood how powerful patience is, just having patience. Kindness, it softens hearts and open doors words never could. Goodness is integrity in action. It builds trust and credibility. Faithfulness is consistency over time and makes your life dependable and weighty. Gentleness is strength under control. That's good. Gentle. People don't realize that gentle, like when you think of gentle, you don't think of like a gentle giant, mm-hmm. you know? But that's what it is. It's strength under control, and it keeps correction from becoming damage. I love that. That's like when I was talking to these kids in the youth group. We got all the conflict settled, but then, you know, kids are kids, so they're wanting to talk about, well, who was the problem? What happened? What did they do? You know, gentleness is not talking about somebody that when they've messed up. Mm-hmm. You don't do that, you know? Like, I've messed up tremendously. I don't want any.
It's not love either. You know, love covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah. Self-control is authority over your flesh and protects your witness. That's true. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and self-control. Mm-hmm. Really. A sound mind. It also says self-control. But people may not respond to your words, but they will respond to your fruit. Amen. So I had somebody text me earlier, and earlier today, and I sent them my notes, and she was saying, "Well, what do you do when somebody says I don't really have a need for God in my life?" Well, that's a perfect time to just don't worry about trying to win them over with words, but just let the fruit do the talking. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. There's a grandma here at the church. She brought her granddaughter to youth on a Wednesday night. And this girl's like never been to church before, and one of her parents, very atheistic. The other grandma, I guess, is very atheistic. Mm. And this girl came to church, and we were preaching on, it was last week or 2 weeks ago, it was James 2, Faith Without Works is Dead. And I brought up Jaden Ivey, this professional basketball player who plays in the NBA for the Bulls, who got fired for just speaking out against the NBA promoting Pride Month.
Mm-hmm. On his own platform.
On his own platform. And so I just mentioned, you know, this guy, you know, actually lives out his faith. You know, faith is going to drive you to say something. If your faith doesn't move your tongue, then it's not, what is it?
Yeah.
You know, faith has to move your mouth. It has to move your actions.
Yeah.
And I showed an image, a picture of a golden statue wearing like a rainbow robe and all these basketball players mm-hmm. just bowed down and you know, Jaden Ivey standing up.
Yeah.
And I said, this guy, you know, spoke what he believed and he was fired for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that picture was a picture of what happened in Babylon, you know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow down to it. They were thrown in the fiery furnace, and it's happening today. With the way the culture is today. And this girl told her grandma, she's like, I have lots of friends that are transgender. And sometimes we forget, like in our circles, in our Christian circles, that, you know, like I think it's like something like 25% of people 25 and under, like 13, age 13 to 20, 25, like 25% identify as LGBTQ.
Oh, wow.
So she said, I want to be back. She wants to come back. So, you know, of all the people who could have been offended by what I mentioned as an example of faith without works is dead,
mm-hmm.
like it would be that young woman. But she saw something very genuine in our ministry, in the atmosphere of the youth room, of our leaders, of other students there. Like, this is very different. and I want to know more. So this grandma is super excited because she's like, I'm going to bring her back. And but the other side of the family now is like trying to push against it.
Oh.
So the other grandma had to have surgery and said, well, you shouldn't go to that youth group because, you know, I'm more susceptible to germs right now, recovering from this surgery. So like you shouldn't be around other, you know, don't go to that youth ministry and be around other students. But she's still going to school. So this grandma here is very frustrated because she sees the two-sidedness of the unbelieving side of the family. And I said, you know what? You are her grandma. I said, you can
do what you want.
You can, do what you want. But I said, you can pray prophetic prayers. You can declare things that be not as though they were.
Mm-hmm.
And stand, like, as you have a strong connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God wants to impact generations.
Yeah.
So don't just, you know, and it is disheartening. But I said, you're still... something's happening.
Obviously, you know. She was in the right place if the enemy's trying to like keep her from coming now. You know?
And you can see when the enemy's knows his goose is cooked. He'll just be grabbing for straws and saying things that don't even make sense.
Yeah, that's usually the way it goes. But, you know, this is becoming someone God can trust. And I feel like as we yield to the fruit of the Spirit, when it's not easy, with our church family, with our family at home, whether they're born again, not born again, our extended family, people out in public, you know, it's so important what people see. And sometimes that can feel a little exhausting. Mm-hmm. Like you think, oh gosh, well, now you're telling me I have to be this person. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that when you continue in the word, God will give you a revelation of his word. It will move you to doing. So the key is you stay planted in the word, and that's where you're going to get the energy and the revelation to be able to fulfill what he's called you to do and be entrusted in more. Amen. Right?
Yeah.
Amen.
That's awesome.
That encourages me. But yeah, I love the fruit of the Spirit, especially now that I know that it's actually a force that I can use in ministry and not just a feeling.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's a supernatural thing.
It's a supernatural
thing. And it takes the Holy Spirit to draw it out.
It does.
As well, you know, keep yourself in the love of God.
Praying
in tongues. Building yourself up in faith.
Yeah.
It is a supernatural thing, but you have to draw from it. And there are ways you can draw from it.
Yeah.
You know, there are multiple ways you can draw.
Yeah, you can go to church regularly.
Be around people that encourage
how
you
many
and
okay
out.
How many you we were just talking about this, how many services does the average person attend? You said
statistically the average
committed
Christian,
which we have a lot of more than committed people at our church,
18 church services a year.
Wow.
So that's just,
there's 52 weeks in a year, so
1.5
at least 52
times a month.
We have 52 times two. Yeah, Wednesday night with Wednesday,
yeah,
we have 104
yeah.
And that doesn't count like Caris Outpouring that we're going to have in June, mm-hmm. all the little extras, the women's ministry, the men's ministry, like that's really sad.
Yeah.
And that's what they call committed Christians. Mm-hmm. Man, we got a really awesome bunch of people at our church because they are way more than committed. Mm-hmm. They come way more than that.
That's true.
So anyway, my call to action is don't just preach the gospel, become a carrier of it in your actions. So you can ask yourself this week, which fruit is missing in my life right now? You know what? I actually asked God, you know, I don't like to think about, I'm like, God, tell me an area that you can help me with, help me develop, but like, don't tell me all of them at once because that's going to bog me down because I know I got a long way to go. But I've been working on just not saying everything that crosses my mind, and I'm not perfect at it. But self-control, mm-hmm. specifically in that area. And man, it's so cool to see God work and the Holy Spirit work when I can just keep my mouth shut. And I know I don't do a perfect job, but I've gotten a lot better over the years. But you can ask God, help me figure out which fruit of the Spirit do you want me to focus on? And God can help you with that. You can pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit will actually help you walk that out. But intentionally practice it daily. You know, spend time with the Lord, journal, pray. You know,
that's really good. I like Joni's comment. She said, "What? That's crazy." I think she's talking about the average.
Oh, the average,
you know, 1.5 times a month. Joni probably comes to church 1.5 times a day. So,
yep, Yeah, she's got them beat. That's for sure. Yeah. We live here. Most of the staff. All
it's kind of neat too. I love a. You know, nice. Joni does our graphics here at the church. Her husband works here, over the media department. But something I love. You know, Joni also helps sing at the church, and she sang.
And she does photography too. But, and she decorates.
She has three kids, and her kids were here. You know, at practice, and sometimes here Sunday at 7 for the sound check. She'll. You know, so it's neat to see, you know, some of the staff kids and, you know, key volunteer kids just love being here as well.
Uh-huh.
That really blesses me.
It blesses me too. So before you, my challenge for you this week is before you preach to someone this week, before you jump right into an argument with them, you need to just say, you know what, can I pray for you? Mm. You know, offer to pray for them first. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And it takes people aback, and God really opens a door for you to be able to minister to them. So, yep, the fruit of the Spirit isn't optional. It's the evidence that the Spirit is leading our life. Mm. Amen. It's with us. God is with us. He's helping us.
That's true.
That's what Pastor Lawson says.
Chrissy's laughing 1.5 times a day at the church. It's probably true. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to like this, subscribe to the channel. Share it with people too. I think it'll be encouragement to people.
Mm-hmm.
If
you're listening to this after the fact and you have a question, you can still leave your question in the comments and we'll get back to you.
Yeah, awesome. Right. Well, thanks for joining us. We love you guys. See you again here very soon.